You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. The House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol held its first public hearing last night, broadcast in primetime on most national television. It featured new footage of the mob storming the Capitol building and testimony from lawmakers and witnesses. Capitol Police Officer Carolyn Edwards, who suffered a brain injury in the attack, shared graphic details of what she saw that day.
What I saw was just a war scene. It was something like I'd seen out of the movies. I couldn't believe my eyes. There were officers on the ground. They were bleeding. They were throwing up. I saw friends with blood all over their faces. I was slipping in people's blood.
The hearings will continue next week, but the first night unveiled new allegations about former President Trump and his role on January 6th and the lead up to it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch or listen to last night's public hearing? What did you think? What were your takeaways? What do you want to hear as the committee continues to investigate? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. David Schultz is a professor of political science at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me again.
We had this hearing kind of recalling, in some ways, the enormity of what we saw. A president of the United States loses an election, devotes weeks to try to overturn that loss, culminating in what we saw on January 6th. Did last night's broadcast, last night's hearing, bring that back into the spotlight?
I think it brought it back into the spotlight, but of course, remember, we're looking at a lot of things competing with a very crowded political agenda right now. We obviously have the 2022 elections. We have inflation. We have a war. We have a lot of more de facto war going on in Ukraine, a lot of things. And so I think what Congress wanted to do was to bring it back and remind the American public again that something happened on January 6th, 2021, and it's serious enough that we need to reconsider it. Whether that really brings the focus back to the Americans to think about this is yet to be seen. But on that first night, on Thursday night, in 2 hours, an incredible amount of information was packaged together. And what it struck me as, it looked like the opening statement in a prosecution for a criminal case, where they're going to lay out their theory, lay out their evidence, and then over the course of what the next several hearings that they're going to be televising to actually lay out the entire case. But last night was a remarkable presentation in terms of putting together audio, visual, in-person testimony. It was compelling, I would say, news in some ways.
Depending on who talks about the events of January 6th, that was a dust up, a protest, maybe it got a little out of hand, or it was a verging on overturning our system of peaceful transition of power in the United States. What do you, when you look back, what do you see at stake in January of last year?
Well, it really was in many ways all about, I think, domestically, the integrity of our elections. This would have been, with the exception maybe of the Civil War, where the South objected to Lincoln's winning and seceded from the Union, this would have been the first time in American history where a loser basically didn't concede the election and instead sought to try to overturn the results of an election. We've had other close elections in American history. Nixon, Kennedy, 1960. Obviously, Clinton and Trump's 2016, Gore and Bush in near 2000. And in all those cases, the loser at the end of the day conceded the loss and moved on. So on one level, most Americans are thinking about this is about the integrity of our elections, about our democracy. But we shouldn't also forget that the rest of the world is watching, and that what happened on January 6th really damaged U.S. representation as a democracy across the world, because suddenly, to use a line that's been used by many people, we didn't quite look like that shining city on the hill. We looked kind of dirty and grubby, and that our democracy was not all that we hoped it would be.
Talking to David Schultz from Hamline University and the University of Minnesota, looking at the first in a series of public hearings from the January 6th committee in the U.S. House of Representatives. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi, Rob. What some Trump reporters are saying is that what happened on January 6th was just normal political discourse and just some visitor or is it just some tourist? No, it was violent, and it would just kind of fits in with what Trump said a while ago, is he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not be charged. So it's just whatever Trump does seems to be okay with the Trump supporters. Okay, I'll hang up and listen.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call. We heard that excerpt from Police Officer Carolyn Edwards' presentation, testimony at the outset. Did this make the case that this was not, in fact, a tourist jaunt through the Capitol?
I think it did last night. I think it actually should have made that case back when it happened in January 6th, when you have people, you know, forcibly storming the Capitol, breaking down barriers, breaking windows, taking control of offices. I'm trying to think of now, and maybe you might recall, how many deaths resulted as a result of what happened on January 6th. But clearly the testimony last night pointed out that even beyond deaths, how many people were hurt. This is not your picket in front of City Hall protesting a tax increase. This was violent. And part of what I think what the committee is going to try to do is to argue that both by his acts and by his omissions, Donald Trump is responsible for what happened. By his acts, the words and deeds that he used, perhaps, and we don't know yet, perhaps by maybe other things that he did, but also they're trying to argue by his omission, by his failure to call to bring out extra security, the failure to perhaps tell his supporters retreat. So they're trying to make a case that eventually brings it up to the president of the United States that what? This was violent. And I think the graphics last night on Thursday, the pictures, the testimony, were meant to try to convince the American people, guess what? People were hurt. People bled. People died as a result of this. This is not a peaceful First Amendment protected activity.
Republican Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming shared testimony from a witness who described President Trump's reactions during the January 6th attacks. Here's a listen.
Aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the president responded with this sentiment, quote, maybe our supporters have the right idea. Mike Pence, quote, deserves it.
That speaks to what you were just talking about, questions of President Trump's role, what he said, what he didn't say or do. Can you talk some more about that?
Sure. I think what Representative Cheney is trying to do is to say, look at how the president of the United States literally egged on and encouraged his supporters to undertake an action that by most accounts had it happened. I'm going to say that by most accounts, but all accounts had that happen, that would have been murder. It would have been maybe political assassination. And what she's trying to set up in her argument, and I think what the committee is to say, is that we can tie all this back to the president of the United States. And she made a reference also about his constitutional duties. And I'm going to make an argument here, is that to say that an ordinary citizen probably doesn't have maybe has a right to say, let's change the government. Let's create a new government. That's, after all, what our Revolutionary War people did. Most people would not say that an average person has a right to advocate killing a government official. What she was trying to hint at here is to say that the president, in taking that actions, violated his constitutional duties. Now, she didn't phrase it here, but one of the duties that the president of the United States has in Article 2 of the Constitution, it says that the president shall take care that the laws shall be faithfully executed. And if you look at what happened there, I think what she's saying is he did nothing to take care that the laws shall be faithfully executed. In fact, he took actions to encourage the disobedience of the law. And that's what she was referencing, I think, when she said he violated his constitutional duties.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Bill is with us in Superior. Bill, hi.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I guess I'm just looking at the ratings report from yesterday. A lot of people don't really care that much about the January 6th committee. And another couple more points I'd like to make real quick is this pales in comparison to the problems that are going on right now between inflation, fuel prices, you name it. There's a 100 different things that are, in my opinion, way more important than this. And my last point is that people who think this was an actual coup attempt or to overthrow our democracy and our government, that's ridiculous. It could have never happened.
Oh, why not, Bill? If Vice President Pence had listened to the president and the crowd and said, I'm going to choose not to honor these electoral votes.
Okay. For the first part, for one, there wasn't enough people. They weren't armed to the teeth. I don't think anybody had weapons. If they did, maybe only one or two. Otherwise, I'm not really hearing about it. And then three, we have three branches of government. They were just going into the Capitol building. Nobody went to the White House. Nobody went to the Justice Department or the Supreme Court to try to overthrow that. Somebody just tried overthrowing the Supreme Court by trying to kill Justice Kavanaugh the other day.
And Bill, thanks for the call referring to the person who turned himself in with a weapon. But this effort to persuade Congress and the Vice President to not honor the election, David, what do you think of what our caller had to say?
Well, first off, again, I still say he's sort of downplaying it by saying, well, it was just a few people, just maybe not too many people armed. I'm sort of paraphrasing it. And it was only the Capitol. Well, the fact is, it still was the Capitol. It still was a mob. And people died. I mean, this was a violent act that took place at our seat of government in the United States. And that's pretty dangerous. It's not about saying that, well, they tried to take over the government. They tried to engineer a coup and fail, and therefore we shouldn't worry about it. The fact that they tried to do so, the fact that this is what I think is being argued here, the fact that either they or they at the behest of the president orchestrated a takeover of the Capitol that tried to stop the peaceful transition of a democracy from occurring. That is the danger in and of itself. That's the problem. Now, I do agree with the caller, and I made my same point here, is to say that there's a question here of how much the American public is paying attention. And this is the whole purpose of what happened last night in these hearings, is to tell the American public, guess what? This is serious. This is perhaps way more serious than what happened with Watergate 50 years ago, where that's about a robbery, a break-in, at the Democratic headquarters. This is about what? Trying to either convince a vice president to overturn an election when he has no authority to do so, or basically what? If the vice president won't do it, we're going to what? Hang the vice president. That's pretty serious stuff that's going on out there. And I don't think we should downplay the fact that because what? They weren't successful doesn't mean it wasn't important.
Bill, thanks for the call. We're talking about last night's January 6th Commission public hearing with David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on these committee hearings? Are you following them? Did you watch directly or read up or watch up on it this morning? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with political science and law professor David Schultz with us today to talk about revelations from the first day of public hearings put on by the January 6th Commission. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Briefly, before we go back to our callers, David, part of the story here was what President Trump actually knew about his claims about election fraud, multiple instances, including testimony from William Barr, former attorney general, a lot of people in the president's circle saying at the time they knew there wasn't fraud and they were telling the president there hadn't been significant fraud.
It's very important on a couple of reasons. One of them is just to establish the fact that he was informed, as you pointed out here, that he went to court over 60 times, could never marshal the evidence to prove that there was fraud, and was repeatedly told that. And why that becomes important is that if you think about, again, the analogy I made earlier, that this sounded like the beginning of an opening statement for a criminal trial. One of the things that could come out of this is a referral from Congress over to the Justice Department to prosecute the former president. And one of the possible violations would be interference with a governmental function, a governmental meeting. And like any criminal law, you have to prove intent. And part of what has to be shown here and what they're trying to lay out is to say that the president knew, he knew that the election was not stolen. And therefore sought to interfere with the performance of a governmental function, that is specifically the counting, or rather, I say the certifying of the electoral votes. So there is a purpose here. There's a purpose here that perhaps might be just for historians, maybe for just posterity to say the president knew but disregarded that, and therefore was important in engineering a lot of things. But it could also potentially be important in prosecution of the president.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Sauk City. John, hi.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to make a comment on there was a previous caller that sort of implied that the January 6th attack wasn't important. And then he went on to talk about the Supreme Court justice that was threatened. And it just fascinates me how people's opinions are skewed by whatever they're listening to. I'm sure he had good intentions, but he's made such different judgments about two similar things. And I find that fascinating. And I wonder how we're going to get around that.
John, thanks for the call. And David, people are literally seeing two different news feeds last night. Fox News not running the hearings, not airing commercials, not breaking away to commercials, having the hearings on in the background, cutting away when at moments when windows are broken and things like that. People are really seeing this from two very different vantage points.
No, you're absolutely correct. And January 6th just becomes yet another event, let us say, such as the pandemic, such as mask wearing, as so many other things, where we have an enormous partisan divide and polarization in America. And we've talked, I think maybe even on this show before, we've talked about, you know, we live in such different worlds. We have different factual realities at this point. And I am also fascinated by that fact with Fox National choosing not to even show it, not to even talk about it, and really sort of creating, you know, again, two different worlds. And if we're talking about trying to create some type of bridge to overcome the polarization, I don't see it happening in the near future. And I know some people have said, well, we shouldn't even be showing these hearings. We shouldn't even have these hearings. It just stokes the fire of division. I don't think you can stoke it any more than it is. And again, at some point, I think part of these hearings is the purpose of what? Letting the American public see. Let them actually see the videos, hear people speak, and in part render their own judgment. And when Fox decided not to do that, from my opinion, and I've written about sort of like the media in the past, is that I think they were kind of derelict in their duty in not providing the critical information that they're expected to do as a press or a media source in terms of informing their viewers.
Thanks for that call. One thing I want to get to before we run out of time, David, is looking ahead to future presidential elections. I know Congress has some things in the works to clarify the Electoral Count Act, to make it very clear that, for example, the vice president doesn't have unilateral authority to accept or reject a state's electoral college, their approved electors.
Sure.
What are you looking for when it comes to actual tweaks, fixes in the law to take away some of the risks?
Well, first off, even without the act, the Constitution is pretty clear that the states have pretty broad authority in terms of determining how they're going to allocate their electoral votes, and that the Electoral Count Act is really, it's not even certifying. It's really kind of just counting just to make sure. You know, there was never anything in that act that really said Congress could second guess and what the states did. So if you're going to do any kind of tweaking whatsoever, I think you kind of hinted at it, maybe state explicitly that Congress and the vice president don't have the authority to be able to unilaterally reject votes, and maybe lay out criteria regarding better how states go about putting together their electoral votes, how Congress reviews them and things like that for whatever perfunctory review it is. So I think it's really more tweaking than anything else at this point in terms of what the act needs to do. But I want to get one other thing in here, though, which I think is very important, is that one of the things that many people are forgetting in this situation here, and you hinted at it before, is that Mike Pence should be given a lot of congratulations. He was under enormous pressure from the president of the United States. And when push come to shove, he did the right thing. He said, I don't have the authority to do this. And that's important. But also, we shouldn't have sort of the threads of democracy hanging by simply the acts of one person like that. But he should nonetheless be commended for what he did in terms of resisting the pressures from the president and perhaps a mob.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He's with us today to look at the first day of public hearings for the January 6th committee, what impact their findings could have.